There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I want to get one of those off-menu podcasts. Stack them high. Two, I want a double off-menu podcast. Uncover it. Cover it. And I mean cover it with good humor. That's all I want. I want a double stacked off-menu podcast covered with humor. I love that podcast. It's so delicious. And wrap it all up in a love bun.
Thank you, strange man.
Okay, bye!
Bye! Hey, Ed. Hey, Ed Gamble.
Hey, man. How's it going, James A. Caster? Yeah. Sometimes I send in the funny man to do the intro for me.
Well, he was great. Really great intro. Really nice American intro, which is very fitting because this is one of our LA episodes, isn't it?
Yes, we're in Los Angeles of America. This episode is recorded in Earwolf Studios, but we should probably let everyone know what the H this podcast is.
Oh yeah, this is the off menu podcast where we welcome in a guest and we ask them their favorite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink to form their dream menu.
Yes,
and this week our special guest is
Paul F. Tompkins. Paul F. Tompkins, an absolutely amazing comedian, writer, actor, podcaster, an absolute legend.
Mr. Peanut Butter.
The voice of Mr. Peanut Butter. There we are. But many, many, many other things besides.
So many more things besides.
He's sort of a king of podcasts as well.
Yeah, he is.
He's just started a new podcast, in fact, with Nicole Parker, and it's called Neighborhood Listen.
Oh, fantastic.
And we feel like everyone in your neighborhood should be listening to that.
Yeah, the whole neighborhood.
So go and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though Paul is brilliant and we love him and we're very excited to have him into the Dream Restaurant, unfortunately, we do have to kick him out if he's a secret ingredient that we have predetermined.
Yes.
And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Baboni.
It's abalone is the name of the fish.
Sorry, yes.
No, don't try and change it now. James thought it was called baboni. So if Paul says baboni or abalone, it's a weird texture, this rubbery textured fish. They use it in Japanese cooking a lot, but it's a very acquired taste. I do not like it.
Abalone
or baboni or any of that. It is not allowed. If Paul says abalone, he is out on his ear.
Oh, sorry. So sorry, Paul. Hopefully he won't say it, though. Oh, Ed, I can hear him approaching the Earwolf Studios right now.
Paul?
F. Tompkins.
Welcome, Paul F. Tompkins, to the Dream Menu Restaurant.
You're not kidding around. Like, you jump right into it.
Yeah.
Will there be other stuff, just you guys talking?
Well, yes.
Recorded later?
We sort of bookend it. But we'll do that separately.
I was not prepared. That was
the
fastest I've ever been brought into a podcast.
Welcome, Paul F. Tompkins, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
A lot of Americans have said this to us, that they're used to sitting there quietly whilst the host talked for like 10 minutes before they're brought in.
If not longer.
Yeah, but we don't mess around, Paul.
No, it's rude.
It is. I think that
why
is
would you
rude.
Want to sit there
to invite
while
someone
they just do all their admin?
Well, you wouldn't want to. Yeah. Certainly. The question is, you're blaming the victim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely.
Actually. Yeah.
Oh, that's intentional.
The United Kingdom, Paul. How we do it.
No, you're in. You're straight away. You're in. This is about Great. Your yeah. dream restaurant. So, you know, we're not going to leave you to sit there while we chat about, you know, putting the chairs out
it's
and
not
stuff.
Not about us.
Right. Oh, I like this.
It's
I like
all
this.
About you.
James is a genie waiter in this scenario as well. That's what that big explosion was.
Yeah,
I see.
It was me coming out of a lamp. I mean, you saw that anyway. You saw me.
No, I saw you come out of the lamp. Yeah, I didn't realize you were a genie.
You just thought he was a regular lamp dweller.
Yeah, I did think it was. No one prepared me for that. Yeah. And I was okay, that's his thing.
There are a lot of lamp dwellers who get very annoyed when people assume they're a genie. I appreciate that you waited to hear that I am a genie first. But like,
never make assumptions.
Yeah. But I am a genie and also a waiter, so I can get you food from wherever you like, any period in your life, any specific restaurant, anything.
So unlimited food wishes.
Well, this is a thing. It's, you know, he's a genie, but there is only one wish per course.
Yes.
So it's sort of your dreams, but severely limited.
Finite amount of wishes.
Yeah.
They're all related to food.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can never wish for anything else.
No. That's not. He did 1 month at genie school and he was only there for the food portion.
Yes.
And they call it the food portion as well.
This genie school.
Yes.
So are you not born a genie?
Yeah, you're born a genie, but you still have to go to genie school.
We go to human school.
Yeah, you're born a human, but you still have to go to human school.
Yes.
Yeah, if I didn't go to genie school, I'd still be a genie, but I wouldn't know how to do any of the stuff.
Understood.
You know, my powers would be like a bit...
Hogwarts as well, I guess, is the other thing.
Oh, sure.
They're born wizards, but apart from Hermione, mudblood, but they have to go to the school to...
Was she a mudblood?
She was a mudblood. That's an offensive term, guys. But like,
why would you... It actually is. It makes me shudder whenever I hear that. Like, in a made-up book for kids, why would you make up something that sounds so much like a slur?
Yeah, it really does. It really
it's the
does.
The worst slur.
It's not fun.
You could have thought of.
A lot of fun stuff, and then that's not fun.
She's not pure-blooded. We'll call them a mud-blooded. We'll put that in and, like, really
My God.
Teach that to kids.
I felt bad as I was saying it, and then you two just stared at me as if I was like, oh, God, what if it's also an actual slur and J.K. Rowley just used it in the book?
No. But yeah, she's probably like, yeah, this is fine. What's going to happen? Are these kids going to grow up and make awful political decisions? I don't think so. They'll be fine. Yeah, absolutely fine. There are some genies that are self-taught. I should point that out.
Is that
there
true?
There are some that don't go to genie
school.
That
I would know?
Well, the Aladdin genie?
Sure.
Yeah, his brother. Yeah, self-taught. Not as good.
Yeah, not as good.
But like, he's a self-taught genie. Yeah. He was okay.
Yeah, he's in the musical Aladdin.
Oh, the stage version.
Yeah,
he's not
the stage
in the...
It's the musical. He's not doing anything else outside of that. That guy is... He's not prime genie.
He's more of a singer than anything, I think. Mm. Yeah,
he's very good at singing. Like, but that is also self-taught, actually.
Yeah.
Just self-taught.
That is actually impressive.
Yeah.
To be a good singer and to have no formal training.
Oh, yeah. Very jealous of that.
Sure.
Really jealous of people who can sing properly. I think all three of us must be, right? That's why we're here, is because we can't sing.
I can sing a little bit.
You got some pipes on you?
I think so, yeah. I can carry a tune.
What's your style?
Because I sing other people's songs... I don't know that I have a specific style.
Oh, you do all styles.
Yes, right. A style's the whole office can agree on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What are some of your, what's in your repertoire?
Like if somebody's having a birthday,
mm-hmm.
There's a specific song that I will sing.
Yeah.
And sometimes other people will join me in singing it.
Yeah.
That I'll sing for someone's birthday.
Sure. Yeah. You know. Okay. But you can't say the words on it because it's copyrighted.
Oh, no, I don't know if you'd know. It's called Happy Birthday.
Oh, okay.
It's, do you guys have that?
Yeah. Of course, we've never heard you sing it before. We've never really heard Happy Birthday.
I mean, is there anybody's birthday in here?
It's someone's birthday in the office, Benito. I believe.
It's the Great Benito's birthday today.
That's the Great Benito through there.
Our producer, the Great Benito.
No, he didn't introduce himself that way to me. He just said his name was Ben.
Yeah, that's short for the Great Benito.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little bit tricksy, actually. Apologies for that. He should have told you his proper name.
Yeah, is he being modest or is he actively trying to deceive me?
Oh, yeah, actively trying to deceive you. He's very deceptive, and it's been a problem on this trip. we've come to LA and we want to like meet people and make friends.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And he's kind of making up names and stuff. Hi, and introduce himself as Ben and stuff like that.
Is this like when the king goes in the countryside in the guise of a beggar?
Yeah, to
see what people really think.
Yeah, exactly.
He's trying to reinvent himself over here.
So now, if you hadn't said that Ben was the Great Benito, I would have been talking all kinds of shit about the Great Benito.
Yeah.
And then he's just sitting there watching it.
That's exactly what he's planning on doing.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't. I've never met him before. He doesn't need a cloak. He could just say, "By the way, I'm the Great Benito."
Yeah.
A verbal cloak.
Yeah.
You a food guy?
I eat it every day.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
I've eaten twice today.
That works out. I was just doing the timings. And
you know what? I'm going to eat again tonight.
Oh.
I even ate a thing. I had two meals, and even in between the two meals, I ate something else, a little, tiny, smaller meal.
Okay.
If you can call it a meal.
Yeah. What was the little thing you ate in between?
It's a banana.
Very nice.
An exotic fruit from who knows where.
Yeah. For people who aren't familiar with bananas at home, do you want to describe it to them?
Yeah, they're proof that there is intelligent design in the universe. Mm-hmm. God created the banana so that we could hold it in our hand and peel it.
Yes.
I don't think I have to elaborate on that anymore. But it's a great fruit because it's got the most sugar and tastes most like a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apples, I like apples. They're a lot of work. Bananas are so easy.
Yes.
You peel them, they're soft.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're really easy to get through.
And it's like how many bites do you reckon it takes you to finish a banana? Four, yeah.
Well, it depends on the size of banana. They come in a range.
True. Yeah, I would say your average banana.
Big bites. Yeah, yeah.
You could do big bites, sure.
Are you like a big bites guy? He's a big gulps guy.
I love big gulps.
And you cannot lie? What does that mean? You like a gigantic soda drink?
No,
You have no idea.
I take big sips out of drinks. I finish drinks quickly.
I do that too. Yeah. I eat and drink very quickly. I grew up in a big family, and that is a hallmark of
me. I was an only child, but very fat.
Just sheer speed.
I was
constantly trying to beat his PB.
Yeah.
Every single time.
But I knew PB as peanut butter. That's what.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jar a day.
Jar a day.
Eat it like a yogurt.
You should see him drink a drink. It's outrageous because like it's not even like he's putting the effort into doing the big sips. He just like it looks like he's had a normal sip and then he puts the glass down and you're like, how did that even happen?
Yeah.
It's like a magician.
But I find
coming from a genie, that's a
big respect.
It's more refreshing. I love having a beer on a hot day and take a big gulp and then it's half gone.
Yeah.
I do the same thing with alcoholic drinks. And the problem is that you're finishing before everybody else is. Mm-hmm. And it does make me self-conscious.
Yeah.
That especially with wine. Wine is like very easy to drink. Mm-hmm. And depending on at home we have my wife likes them. I don't. They're these little wine glasses. They're very continental. You know what I mean? But it's very hard to keep track of how much you've had because it just looks like a little juice glass. It's like if I had a lot of wine or if I not had enough wine.
Yeah. Well, 15 glasses of wine.
Yeah. But are they real glasses?
Yeah. 15 little tumblers.
Yeah.
Thimbles.
It's like mouthwash size.
Yeah. With mouthwash, here's a rebellious thing that I do.
It
says that you should pour it out into the cap and then measure it out and it then swill it. I just swig it out the bottle. Out the bottle.
Are you getting? How do you know how much you're getting?
I don't even know.
What?
And you swallow it as well, don't you?
I don't swallow it.
What do you do?
I'll swallow it.
He crumbled under question quickly.
It's a one question and you'll get him.
That's it.
He'll always lie the first time and then you'll get him.
But a lot of
away.
People don't think to ask the question. He sounded pretty different.
This is more genie code. We're allowed to lie the first time. Second time you have to tell the truth. Sure. We always start with still a sparkling water in the dream restaurant.
Oh, still. What?
No, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No,
and then we judge everything?
No, that wasn't the judging.
This is the first thing. We're on water.
That wasn't a judgy noise.
That was, come on.
That was a judgy noise.
That was absolutely a judgy noise.
No, because we're always fascinated by people's answers, because whatever people answer, still or sparkling, they always say it as if it is the definitive answer, yeah. And they can't believe anyone picks anything different.
Sure.
So when you, still.
Here's why I think that is. Yeah, yeah. Because if you're at dinner with multiple people and they're ordering the thing that you don't want, you have to get your thing in there so you're not stuck drinking the thing that you don't want to drink.
Right.
To me, water is I love drinking water. I love it.
Yep.
It's surprising to me that there's some people like, I hate water. It's like, how can you biologically not like drinking water?
Yeah.
It's absolutely in your DNA that you need to do it.
It's the main thing.
Yeah. It's the main thing. And so there's so many times where, of course, I want like a different kind of drink if I'm at home, but I think, I bet if I have a glass of water, I'm going to be fine. And I'll have that glass of water. I'm like, you did it again, water. You have a perfect success rate. I don't care about the other thing anymore. But I've never developed a taste for sparkling water. And it always seems to me, it's weird. It's like, this isn't thirst quenching. It's salty and distracting. And it's making me wish I just had water.
Yeah.
I don't like... like LaCroix, seltzers, things like that, for the same reason that it's too much between states. Like, it's slightly carbonated or fizzy, and it's slightly flavored, and it just makes me want either the full flavor of something else or just water. You know, I feel like I have some immunity to those.
Sure.
And it sucks because people enjoy them so much.
Yeah.
And people, when you go to somebody's house and they have like, we have 80 flavors of LaCroix, and everyone's excited except me.
Yes.
And it's a bummer because like, I wish I liked it, but I just don't like it.
Do you believe them though, that they love it? Are you looking at them going, come on.
You don't love this.
Here's the thing. I do, because I feel the same way about olives. People love olives.
Yeah.
They really love olives.
Yeah.
And I wish that I did.
I feel like that's different, though. Olives, there's a really distinctive flavor in there. There's something there.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
With this seltzer, as you said, it's not one.
It's like there was a small accident at the water factory.
Yeah.
That they're making soda on one side of the factory and then sparkling water, and someone just knocked a tiny shot into a massive vat.
Mm. Yes.
And then that just gives that just slight suggestion of flavor.
Yeah, and it's people who are like, we're having fun.
Yeah. Here's where I think it started.
Yeah.
When people started putting lemon in tap water, you go to a restaurant and they would bring you that without even warning you that was going to happen. Sure. And it's like, I don't want – this is very specific and I did not ask for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really –
That's
a real left turn in a water.
It's a crazy assumption to make.
Just going to add this quite offensive flavor now.
Yeah. I'm assuming you like it.
Yeah.
Lemon is very specific.
Also, you put lemon in tap water. Tap water is, I'm sure you know, clear. And you can see the bits of the flake of the lemon bobbling around like bits of skin.
Ugh. Awful. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Flaky it's lemon. It's disgusting. Pop it up some bread. Pop it up some bread, Paul. Pop it up some bread.
I'm going to say bread.
Bread.
Paul's reaction to that was great, by the way.
Yeah,
such a shame. Like, absolutely great. Was surprised.
Pop it ups are great. But I hot, fresh bread at a restaurant is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, especially if you got pulled apart.
With your hand, you're going straight in with your hands?
That's something my mother drilled into me, was that you'd never cut fresh bread.
Ah.
That if it's fresh bread, you don't you break it apart, you don't cut it.
That is an interesting thing for her to choose to drill into you.
It was the only thing.
You have to tear apart bread, fresh bread with your hands,
yeah,
son.
It's the only thing. And then she was gone. That's the only thing she left me.
That would be so, you know, in like films where characters have constant like flashbacks of things their parents said to them. In the film of your life, it's like every 5 minutes you get the same flashback of her going, tear into fresh bread with your hands, son. And it's then like the door shuts.
Yeah. It's like my mother always said.
Is it any particular type of bread?
I'm a huge lover of sourdough bread.
Uh-huh.
I love sourdough bread, but I also like a real dark black bread, you know, like that, that real brown bread that's very peasanty. I like that a lot. Yeah.
That would tie in with the tearing it apart with your hands as well. You feel like rustic.
Exactly. And, covered in soot.
Yeah.
You know, it's 5 p.m. I just got off a 19-hour shift and I'm ready to have my my simple rustic meal.
Yeah. You've just been working down a coal mine and that's now right. you're going to eat bread that looks like coal.
That's right.
Yeah. In a little wooden bowl.
Yeah.
Of course, in a little wooden bowl. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you love it as well. That's the thing.
I love it.
You're not being like, oh, bread again. Yeah. You're just like, oh, this is the best.
Yeah. Then I get drunk on ale or meat or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I sleep for 2 hours and go back to work. It's a perfect night.
Are you skipping around in a circle singing a little song about bread?
Well, the kids are, of course.
Because it's bread night.
You're not singing. It's Noah's birthday.
That's right. I hear them as I approach my cottage.
Yeah, sure.
I hear them. I'm just at the door of my hovel, and I'm like, it's bread night.
Bread night. Daddy's home.
And you get your bindle off your shoulder and you untie the...
I work in the coal mine. Now I'm a hobo? Come on.
I'm sure bindles have been too limited, I think. Everyone should have a bindle.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. We can all make one.
Take that to work, right?
Yeah. That's perfect to carry a bread roll.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. If you want things that are not going to touch you, the filth that's on you as much as possible, that's what you put it. Tie it in a sack, put it on a stick.
Away from your body.
Yeah. Oh, it makes so much sense.
So your starter.
I had this soup when I was a kid that my older sister encouraged me to get, and I did not think I was going to like it. And she said, no, you will like it. And it was I was not a vegetable eater when I was a child.
No one really is, are they?
No, they're not. And I wish that had been drilled into me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sooner, because it took me a long time till I was well into adulthood to say, I should start doing this. this is untenable.
Yeah.
I can't keep avoiding these things forever. And it was a cream of celery soup. That was so good. I can still taste it. Wow. And I was probably like 10 years old. We were out at some restaurant. It was like a family, you know, celebration of something or other.
Yeah.
And she said, you'll like this soup. And I got it. And it was, I've never forgotten it.
But of course, no kid's picking a cream of celery soup.
No.
So the surprise, the gulf between what you thought it was going to be like and what it actually tasted like
Absolutely.
Must have been huge.
Yes.
And your mum's there going, eat the soup with your hands.
Yeah.
She said, break that soup apart. It's fresh.
With your hands. This is an older sister, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that would be insane. A five-year-old sister going, you should get the celery soup.
You will like it.
I have no will of my own. And I haven't talked into anything by anyone.
So how old is your sister and how old were you?
Oh, there's a great gulf of years between us. She was the oldest, and I was the second to last out of six kids.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. So she's fully, she's probably like 20 at that point.
Right, okay. Yeah. So she's like saying to her, five-year-old, whoever, get the cream of celery soup, you will like it?
I believe I was bemoaning that I didn't like any of the things were available.
Yeah.
And she said, you should try this. You're really going to like it.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is... There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I love that so many people have the story of like their elder siblings introducing them to cool bands and you've got cream of celery soup.
That's right.
I used to sneak into my sister's room when she went out and get into the vat.
She had pots of it around. Why? When I think back on it now, it's strange. You know, but I mean, she was from a different generation. I don't know. They had soup all the time, all over the place.
Slurping it up.
So what did it? I mean, it did taste heavily of celery, or was that because quite often
it did?
Yeah,
it did, and it was. But it was, of course, it was extremely creamy, which is like that's how a kid was able to like it.
Yeah. the cream.
But it was a whatever spices were in it, whatever, however it was seasoned, it was a brand new thing to me. That it was like I sort of had the idea like I didn't know that grown up food could taste good like this.
Sure,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, here's a question. You said six of you.
Yes.
In my head, all of your siblings also include the middle initial in their name.
that true? It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
They'll call each
we all do it for any official signing of documents or whatever, any kind of business correspondence, but no one does it in life the way that I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so around the table, she wasn't saying to you, you should have the cream of celery soup, Paul F.
No, it's like it was an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Yeah,
sure. You've all got stickers. Even though you know each other's names, you've all got stickers.
That's right. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Paul F.
And you want this specific soup from that meal.
Yeah, now.
Are you doing it much, like, since? Are you a big soup guy?
I'm not a big soup guy, but I do enjoy it on occasion. I tend to like soups that are simple like that. That are not full of a lot of stuff. Uh-huh. I like a single flavor soup.
Sure. Yeah. You don't need a jazzy soup.
I don't need too much. No. Although I enjoy like a hearty, you know, like a beef and vegetable kind of thing.
Like a broth.
Is very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Especially in the wintertime.
Yeah. That's Wednesdays when you were a minor, right? Was broth night.
That's right.
Absolutely. With your bread rolls.
Yeah.
Just mopping up the last bits from the wooden bowl.
That's right.
Broth does not carry well in a bindle, though.
No.
It's just sort of soaking through and splashing out the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you learn that once. Yeah. But then you know it forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're just, on your way to work, this is getting lighter. And you notice it at the end, oh, no.
Why is my back so wet?
Everyone at work's calling you broth back.
There he is. Old
broth back.
That was once, guys.
Old broth back mountain. How's it going? How's it going?
It's my old broth back. Look at it. Pat him on the back. It's all squelchy.
To wring out my coat over the...
You stink of beef.
Humiliating. You stink of
like
beef.
Beef broth back.
Boy, you'd go crazy if you were in the mine and somebody smelled like beef soup.
Yeah.
Beef. Oh.
It would be too much.
Some people do smell
like
soup.
It would be too much.
Too much in the mine.
Nobody ever smells like a soup that's good, though.
No, it's always bad soup. It's always like powdered soup.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. People
powdered
smell of soup.
Yeah, there are people who smell like soup.
That is the thing. People smell of soup. There's no way around that.
There are some people who smell like soup, but it's not a soup you'd want to eat.
No, exactly.
No, it's never cream of celery, is it?
No, it's like medicinal soup.
Yeah, it's gone cold.
Yeah.
It's like a cold, stinky soup.
Yeah.
That's like, maybe just got some unpleasant vegetables in it and maybe even some cheese. But that's like not a good.
You don't want, not like French onion soup cheese.
Yeah. Now, no one's ever said to someone, you smell like soup. And they went, thank you.
Yeah. It's not a fragrance.
Is there a food that you've ever smelt of?
That people have pointed out to me?
Yeah. Or that you've known.
Or that you've been aware that I tried to pull off.
I smell like sandwiches today. Something like that. I'm
trying to think. I don't know that it's ever been pointed out to me that I smelled of a specific food.
Right.
I remember one time a friend of mine smelled like cookies.
That's lovely.
It was absolutely delightful.
Yeah.
And she was very flattered to hear it.
Yeah.
She said, do I really? And I was like, yeah, you do. I don't know what it is.
Is your friend the character from Toy Story?
Yes.
Yeah.
My friend is a cookie.
Yeah.
Got a cookie friend.
I bake these cookies. They look like people. I can't bear to eat them. I need to get a different mold, something that I don't care about.
Yeah. What would make you want to eat the cookie? What would it be made of that you were like, I want to destroy this thing?
Oh, hate.
Yeah.
You know, racism.
Prejudice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Capitalism.
Yeah.
Cheating at sports. Things like that. If I could get those molds.
It's difficult to explain that, though, if someone found you've had a cookie that said prejudice on it. It looks like you're pro-prejudice.
That's a lesson that you learn the hard way.
Yeah.
When you are making like a huge batch of prejudice cookies.
Yeah.
Walking around with them like, would you like to cookie?
Yeah.
They don't get the message.
Like you're a monster. And you're like, no, it's like, you know, you hate it so much that you're
going to eat it.
I used to bake cookies that look like my friends and I couldn't eat them.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't
be any
favors.
They've gone by that point.
No one's listening to you though.
Here's what I would just say. A cookie monster. and then see if that puts a positive association in their mind. I don't know.
I don't know if it works.
I'm going to try it a couple more times.
Yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Your main course.
This is tough.
Yeah.
My main course from all of the history of my life. I think it would have to be pasta. I think it would have to be an arrabbiata sauce. A red sauce, but with some spice to it. And I think for the pasta itself, look, I'm a spaghetti and meatballs guy.
Yeah.
Love spaghetti and meatballs. Grew up on it. Love it. But when I go out to eat, I do like to get like a rigatoni, like a broad, you know, like those broad, we used to call them sidewalks. They were like really wide noodles. I can't remember what they're called now, but what they're actually called. Yeah. But like a rigatoni arrabbiata with like a beef ragu sauce.
Mm.
Sounds very nice.
Yeah.
So rigatoni is just like they're the fat tubes, right?
Yes, the fat tubes.
Spaghetti and meatballs is one of those things that as a kid I thought was going to factor into my life a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, when I was a kid, spaghetti and meatballs was like in every cartoon.
Yeah,
like it's just all over the place.
Yeah, totally.
Very true.
And now as an adult, I'm like, yeah. There's not much spaghetti and meatballs around in life, actually.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They were everywhere as a kid.
It's very
you thought for
true.
Every meal you'd be sitting down and tucking a napkin in around the collar and like really preparing yourself for the big spaghetti and meatballs.
There's a spaghetti and meatballs. But
and twirling. It's so rare that you get to twirl a fork.
Yeah, all that stuff is like, I mean, there's food fights with spaghetti and meatballs in the cartoons. Mm-hmm. I've never had that.
Well, food fights don't happen.
Food fights don't really break out that often. Have you ever had a food fight?
Mm. A fight with food or a fight over food?
Oh, let's go for both.
No.
Glad we clarified.
Yeah. Neither of those things have ever happened.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever even heard of one in real life.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I've had a food fight. And then I started to remember my food fight and I was genuinely imagining the film Hook. So.
Bangarang.
That is not my life.
That's the food fight you're imagining.
Yeah, it was like, there was a food fight and there was a guy. No, that was Hook.
It's all multicolored rainbow food.
There was
a magical man.
Yeah.
He used to be a magical boy.
Rufio, my friend Rufio.
It was paint. It turned into food. Or did food turn into paint? What happened?
It wasn't there and then it was there.
They just imagined the whole banquet, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then they started having the food fight with it. Great film.
Great film.
Great film.
Right?
Super holds up.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
I'd say.
wasn't lauded when it came out, though.
It was bad.
It's a bad film. Right, yes. Okay.
It's one of those things where people that are a generation after me revere this movie. It's very important to them when they were a kid. But it's the difference between seeing a movie once when you're kind of old enough to say, well, that's not good, and being a child and watching a thing over and over and over again to the point where you develop a relationship with it, which I did not do with Hook.
No,
that did not happen.
I saw it on a ferry.
That's a long ride. Yeah. You saw the whole thing?
Where were
you going? Where were you coming from?
Holland from England.
Wow. How long of a ride is that?
I don't know. I mean,
at least one hook's worth.
At least one hook.
Also, like, I didn't have any. I might have even mentioned this on the podcast before. It's one of my most like cherished childhood memories. But I'd never been on a ferry before. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was on the ferry. We hadn't been told there was a cinema there. I don't think there'd be like a cinema there.
Yeah,
right.
So I was just sitting there on the ferry, bored out of my mind. And then my mum was like, "Come with me." I was like, "Okay." And I'm just following her. And then she goes into this room and it's a fucking cinema. And I'm like, what? And then we sit down and I'm like, well, and even at that age, you're like, well, I'm probably not going to be shown like a brand new film that's just come out. And then Hook started. And I was like, oh my God. And then like, it was so brilliant.
They can show what they like. It's international waters.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And you're allowed to record it. You can bootleg it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's something they can do.
Yeah.
The big memory from that, two memories from that holiday. One is watching Hook on the ferry, and one is being on the beach. And I'd learned that in Dutch, like there was, you could say yes by saying yay and no by saying nay. And I'd built a sandcastle, and a little Dutch boy who I did not know.
A prominent thumb?
Yeah. He came over. and he went to kick the sandcastle over. He drew his leg back, and I shouted nay at him, and he shouted yay at me, and it went on for ages. And it was this like yay and nay, just back and forth. We go nay, and he'd be like yay. I'm like gonna kick my sandcastle.
How did it end?
I won. He didn't do it in the end.
Oh, well done, man.
He walked away. I felt like I'd really won the battle, mainly because my sister and brother both joined me at the time shouting nay.
Yeah.
So it was three of us going nay, and then he was like, okay, I know when I've been out-nayed. He went away.
How many more of these are going to show up?
Yeah.
Well, one thing I think is incredible is that about children is that you'd never been on a boat before and you're like already over it.
Yeah, this is boring. We're going to need to throw a cinema into the mix.
This is a brand new experience. I'm on open water going to another country. What else is there?
Take me to another land of entertainment. I've seen a film on a ferry before. Mm-hmm. When I was, I think, 10 or 11, I was on a school trip and they showed the film Hackers. Don't know if you remember the film Hackers.
I've never seen it, but I know of it, and that's a strange choice.
It's a strange choice, bearing in mind, at one point during the film, Angelina Jolie does reveal her top half.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a room full of 11-year-old boys absolutely losing their minds, going crazy on this ship.
Were there any repercussions? Was there a teacher there? Was there any adult?
Oh, yeah, they were loving it.
Just were delighted.
International waters.
Yeah, that's it.
Waters. You'd watch whatever goes. You like.
Wow. Parents can't do anything.
So is this pasta from anywhere in particular?
No, it's not. It's what I think of when I think of Italian food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
It's the little picture that I have in my mind, and it's the taste that I have when I think of Italian food.
Right.
And it's really, I like that it's hearty and it's a lot of sauce and meat and pasta, and it's always satisfying. Mm-hmm. It's always that my fucking mouth started watering.
Your mouth started watering.
My mouth started watering, yeah.
We haven't had that.
When I was thinking about the after effects of the pasta, that was good.
Yeah. Started salivating during the
your
broadcast.
Own description of some food.
That's never happened before?
No.
That must have happened.
No one's had to stop talking because their mouth is full of saliva.
Sorry.
That's never happened before.
That's never happened before.
I listen to a lot of podcasts.
I have to stop. My mouth is watering.
Yeah.
Just pouring.
Yeah.
Excuse me a second.
To be fair, you had the 1-2 punch of like the Angelina Jolie story and then the pasta.
So now
here you are.
Story got it all worked out.
Absolutely. So worked out and passing it off as the pasta. Oh, it's because I'm thinking about pasta too much. But.
My eyes got gigantic and started making that old-timey car sound.
In Hackers, there's a bit where they hack someone's computer by just getting their password. Mm-hmm. And they say, it's a man's, and men's passwords are always God or sex.
Yeah.
And that's... They say all men's part, three letters, God three or letters. Sex. And it's right. They go like sex and they're in.
Yeah. Sex.
What?
I mean, that's true, right?
Yeah.
I may have to see this movie. Yeah, now.
It's really.
And the password's only three
letters, sex. Three letters is God or sex.
Yeah.
Always.
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 Obviously, it's 2020 now. Things have like moved on, but we still all have passwords that are similar to that, right?
Yeah. Sex, it would be sex, like, sex one.
Right. Yeah. God with three Ds.
Yeah. Mine is big old orgy.
big old orgy.
Yeah. Five.
Big old orgy five.
I have a really complex one for my bank, which is Angelina Jolie's top half.
Yeah. Like disturbing or something.
The vowels are numbers, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
God or sex.
Are you having cheese on the pasta? Is someone coming around and grating cheese on top of it?
Yes.
What sort of cheese do you want?
It's Parmesan.
Yeah, sure.
And they go. And like at the point where I feel like I should tell him to stop.
Yeah.
Let go 1 second longer.
Yeah. You've got to go 1 second. Because you don't want to regret that last second big loss.
No.
How I do it is I don't look at how much cheese is going on. I look at their eyes. Mm-hmm. And when they look like I should be ashamed of myself, that's when I stop.
So it's basically they're going, and then when they finally, when their eyes go to you.
Yeah.
Stop. Like, is he paying attention?
Yeah. I'd be joking.
Is this guy on his phone?
Let me do this.
Been doing this for a long time now.
What if you let them go 1 second longer every time, how would you feel if like they're grating at the same pace, and then you think 1 second longer, and that 1 second, they just like speed it up mega, that they go so fast and start grating way quicker. Are you going to panic and be like,
no. I mean, I'd have to respect it.
Yeah,
I'd have to respect it, because someone who's that intuitive, that's a skill in itself, you know.
That's a good cheese guy.
Yeah, like he knew he could tell from my face. Like, everyone's got to tell.
Yeah.
And he's looking at, you know, maybe my eyebrow lifts slightly, or there's a little twitch in my eyelid, and then he's like, this guy, he thinks he's done. And he ramps it up.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times It'll be some sort of device that the cheese comes out of. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's rare where there's the actual grater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the person's doing it. That's very rustic.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not very
That's common. Like a coal miner like me can only dream of something like that.
Of a bit hand grated onto your pasta.
I like when they have a big bowl and they have a spoon.
Oh, you pre-grated. Yeah. You don't want to see I don't want to see that disgusting grating process.
Well, I like it because I believe you that you've graded this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You didn't just buy it like this.
Yeah.
I trust you. But I don't know what's going on inside those grinders and things like that. Like,
what do you worry about could be going on inside the grinder?
I think it's a Ratatouille situation. I think there's I think there's whatever sentient creature is small enough to fit inside there is frantically grating cheese.
On a little grate. They have their own little grater.
Yes, exactly.
A little rat,
little mouse.
Yeah.
I don't want to go smaller because then we're getting into the insect world.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
God.
Thank you.
It's a nightmare.
No, a great
it's
nightmare.
A literal nightmare.
Yeah.
So you like it like out of the bowl with a spoon, shake it along.
I think it's nice. It's homey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever shout like, let it snow or whatever when they start doing that? Do you shout like, let it snow?
Yes.
Yes. Just checking that you shouted that.
Yes, I do every time.
Yeah, yeah. That's always right. Let it snow on the pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Do you ever sing Let It Snow? Because we all know you've got such a lovely voice.
Got good pipes.
There's a certain time of year when I will sing that song.
Yeah. Pasta year. Pasta
time. Yeah.
Pasta time.
Pasta time.
Pasta night in the cottage.
Yeah. Is there a pasta night in the old cottage?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Peasants like me, we love pasta.
Yeah.
Spaghetti meatballs, I do find hard to order. I get a little embarrassed to order it in a restaurant, but I'll still do it.
Yeah.
But it does feel like I feel like I look like someone who does not have a grown-up palate, and that I'm ordering something that a child would order. And yet it's on the menu for grown-ups.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
But I always kind of apologize for it.
Do you take a bib if they offer you a bib? You know, some restaurants, they give you a bib.
If they offer me a bib, I will take it. Yeah. I assume they know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Sure. But I've been in a situation where I've been given a bib, and then I've looked around the restaurant and no one else is wearing a bib.
Mm. Was this like a seafood situation?
No, it was like a barbecue situation.
Oh, yes.
So I'm eating ribs and I'm looking around. Everyone else is bibless. Mm-hmm. I've got a bib. So then you're thinking, did they just not offer the bib to anyone else? They just saw me and they were like, we've got a bibber.
Yeah. Well, maybe they've seen the size gulps you take and they're like, this guy...
There's no way this food is making it into his mouth without some of it falling on his clothes.
Yeah.
This guy's in a rush.
Big sloppy bites.
Big sloppy bites, yeah.
You got that meatball song over here?
I think I know the meatball song you mean. I mean, there's a meatball song I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I hope it's the same one.
Do you guys want to start singing your meatball songs at the same time and we'll see if they match up?
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yes. Do you want to count us in?
I'll go 3, 2, 1. After one, you go 3, 2, 1.
Meatball for my mouth. I love eating meatballs from north to south. Give me a meatball. I'd like a meatball, please. Meatball. No spaghetti on my knees.
Yes. Yeah. No spaghetti on my knees. Yes, we do have that song.
Yeah. But your one started on top of...
On top of the spaghetti.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard that one,
Yeah.
I think of that more as a spaghetti song.
You think that's... Oh, yeah, I guess. I lost
my poor meatball when somebody sneezed.
But then the meatball really is the star of the song because then we follow the meatball on its journey. Mm. Yeah. Spaghetti is just a location.
Yeah,
and not even for the rest of the song.
Yeah, that's true.
The spaghetti is the bed where the meatball lays its head is the end, isn't it? Because the meatball sleeps. Oh God!
This might be a third meatball song.
Does it sleep? Yeah, spaghetti
is the bed where the
meatball laid its head.
Somebody sneezed. It rolled off the table and onto the floor.
Yeah.
And then my poor meatball rolled out of the door.
Yeah.
And I know it goes on.
Yeah.
From there,
it does keep on rolling.
But it goes on the journey. The way I was always taught it is it goes on that big journey.
Yeah.
Almost exactly the journey of Babe picking the city.
Does it?
Yeah. And then. At the end of the day, it's a tired meatball, and the spaghetti is the bed where the meatball lays its head.
What would the tune be of that particular lyric?
Well, same tune. It sounds like you've mixed it up with
A Way in a Manger.
Where the meatball lays his head.
That's not
the meatball's got a gender at the end.
Yeah.
And a head.
Well, that's part of the discussion.
It's a head, isn't it? The meatball?
That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
This is changing everything I thought I knew about meatballs. Mm.
Yeah, I haven't heard the meatball lays its head line.
No.
Yeah. It's a very long song.
Also, I can't remember a lot about the journey of Pig in the City. Pig in the City.
It's exactly the same as
I know he goes to a city.
Yeah. And then goes on the full journey.
Does somebody sneeze and then Babe?
Is that when he gets off the farm?
Yeah, so someone sneezes him off the farm.
Wow.
Yeah, and he goes to the city.
Farmer Hoggett.
Yeah.
Farmer Hoggett really has quite the sneeze on him.
Yeah.
Ejecting animals.
I can't believe you guys haven't heard the full song.
Well, no, yeah, so he rolls out of the door, the meatball, but like I can't remember what happens after he goes out.
Oh, he ends up in a bush at some point?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Looking around in a bush or something, yeah.
Then my poor meatball is nothing but mush.
Mush, yes.
I think that's the end.
I mean, that must.
I don't think he ends up back on the spaghetti.
He's not laying his head anywhere.
No, he's dissolved. His component parts have been broken down into component parts.
There's a bit where he ends up on like a construction site, and they're
Mr. Magoo
lifting up some wood, and it's rolling.
This is Baby's Day Out.
Yeah. This is Baby's Day Out. Definitely.
Oh, yeah, no, Baby's Day
Out. It's a real fairy movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sorry, Baby's Day Out.
Yeah, that's what you were thinking of.
Yeah.
Baby's Day Out. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Baby's Day Out.
Well, what's your side dish, Paul?
My side dish is going to be Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
Mm.
Which that was when I decided I had to learn to love vegetables. That was the first thing that I ate. I was at dinner at a friend's house. I was in my early 30s, and this couple was cooking for a large group of us. So it was sort of like an impromptu dinner party. And you know, it was a lot of friends, and the couple I didn't know that well, but I really liked them a lot, and I thought they were cool people. And so they made Brussels sprouts, and I had this, like, in my head, I was like, well, I don't want to look like a fucking asshole. Like, I don't eat meat because they're not a hamburger. And so I said, I'm just going to eat them. I'm just going to eat them. Uh-huh. And then they turned out to be good.
Right.
And it was a real turning point for me in my life.
Did you try and style it out like you always eat them in the nights? Or did you actually say to everyone, oh, these are amazing? Did you start?
I waited for somebody else to say it first.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought they were good, yeah. but I was afraid of that very thing.
Yeah.
Of acting like I was from another planet. Yeah. Like, I like your earth food.
Yeah.
But I think I did make sort of yummy sounds while I was eating them. Mm-hmm. But somebody else broke the seal and said, these Brussels are delicious. And I said, yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
Like as if I'd eaten them all the time. Yeah. The perfect crime.
I know Brussels.
Yeah.
Crime. And these are Brussels.
I agree. Yeah. I can confirm your suspicions.
How are they cooked? Because, I mean, Brussels sprouts, I think, still in the UK are absolutely reviled because they're like, they're boiled and yeah. they stink.
They were roasted and they yeah. were so good. And I've had them boiled, and yeah, the smell is a lot stronger.
Really bad.
I can still eat them boiled, and I think they're my favorite vegetable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, roasted Brussels sprouts are so good.
Yeah,
they're so good,
and they're on like every menu here.
Yeah, they've really in the last 5 years they've really made this crazy resurgence where they are on every place you go has Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. Do you take credit for that at all?
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's something that happened here and I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's not for me to say. Yeah, not for me to say.
You've probably been putting in a good word here and there.
I mean, I certainly, when I have them, I do make a point of saying, I really like these and they're very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I say it the same way every time.
Yeah.
Which is how you establish a pattern. Mm. So it's easy for people to remember.
Yes.
So by the time I'm saying to someone else, you know, I like these are very good. They don't realize they've heard it from me already. And right. they're like, yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. That's a saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a, yeah.
Saying about
it's
Brussels
a,
sprouts.
Saying. It's the saying. Yeah.
I really like these and they're very good. Yeah.
Do you have the Brussels sprout song here?
Oh, yeah.
We have one.
Yes.
Do you think it's the same one that you guys have?
Oh, I'm not sure.
It must be. Maybe. Do you guys want to start singing at the same
yes.
time?
Or we can yeah, sure. This?
Will you count us down?
3, 2, 1.
B-R-U-S-S-E-L. Sprouts. Yum, yum, yum. I really like these. These are very good.
Yeah, it's the same one.
Yeah.
Very good song, isn't
it? It's a great song.
And
good
then
song.
He same goes to bed.
No, hold on.
No, he never spun if he goes to bed.
Huh?
I don't think that he...
Doesn't go to bed, right?
Not in the song that we sing.
Not the song that we sing.
Tired from the journey.
I know you
what
think
What journey is this?
All the sprouts are little heads.
No, Baby's Day Out.
Yeah, think about Baby's Day Out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boy, I bet... I've never seen the movie, but I bet that baby... I assume it has a journey. He's got a day out.
Yeah.
He must be exhausted by the end.
Oh, so tired.
Well, I mean, not as tired as the robbers that are chasing it. Like, the robbers that are chasing it virtually get killed.
Are you thinking of Home Alone?
No. It's like, it's another... It was off the back of Home Alone. People were trying to make films that were like Home Alone because it was so big. And Baby's Day Out is like a baby just, like, crawling through the city. And there's these three robbers, I think, or like criminals.
Robbers.
And they're like chasing, they're trying to catch this baby.
This baby is known to carry a lot of cash.
Yeah. I think there's like something in the baby's nappy or something. Something Oof. In a diaper. Maybe you would call it a
but
diaper.
I got it the first
time. And the crooks are going after the baby and they're trying to get what's in there. And they're just like getting... All sorts of awful stuff happen. They're really getting their comeuppance. It's instant karma.
Yeah.
But like, at the end, the baby's kind of okay. He doesn't even know what's happened. And the criminals are like,
Baby, this baby probably doesn't even have object permanence, right? So the robbers are new to it every time.
Yeah.
If the baby
baby's even aware of these robbers?
Yeah. I don't think it is.
I don't think baby's got any idea.
I have a feeling this baby is just crawling around.
Yeah.
Robbers in the wake. Yeah. And then they get close to the baby and then, boom, hit with a girder or whatever. Things like that happen.
Yeah, I think that must be it. Also, I love that Home Alone did well. So they were like, we need to make films like Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kid in the house. Why don't we take a kid out of the house?
Yeah.
I mean, make the kid a baby.
Yeah, little kid, cute.
Yeah.
Baby, cuter.
Yeah. Cuter, and we don't have to write a character for it.
Two robbers, pretty good. Three robbers, even better.
Even better. Smashable. Knock them about for the whole thing.
Smash the robbers.
I really smashed them.
Yeah.
Those robbers got smashed.
It's crazy now that I'm an adult and I know who Joe Pesci is in terms of, like, when I was a kid and saw Home Alone, I was just like, that's a funny robber. And now I'm like, that's Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Like an actually respected good actor who, like, won an Oscar. And, like, incredible. And actually, that's who I was watching the whole time.
He should have won an Oscar for that in my IMO.
I'd have liked that.
I think I would have liked that, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have liked it, to, you know, if it upset the system.
Yeah. You know, it's always good when there's an upset.
Yeah, when
there's an upset there. Also, who's the other guy? Howard?
Dean?
Huh?
Daniel Stern?
Daniel Stern, yes. Howard Stern.
Who's the voice of the Wonder Years.
Is a different guy.
Howard Stern is a different guy.
Mm.
Howard Stern.
Wait, is he?
Does his podcast, doesn't he? He does like a thing in it. He would be.
Shut up. They both have the same last name, but they have different first names. But they don't look like each other. I wonder if it's. It's like how last names used to be occupations.
Yes.
And they're descriptors. So these guys, maybe they were very stern.
Yes.
They grew up in different parts of the country. And so they didn't realize, oh, this guy is already, they call him Stern.
Oh, yeah.
Have they ever met?
Have they ever met?
Wow. They must. They
Howard
must
and Daniel Stern. Have they ever met?
Have Howard and Daniel Stern ever met?
That's a good idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
Do you think they've ever been on a certain part of a boat?
Oh. Starboard?
Close? Warm?
I would like to hear a podcast that's Daniel Stern, Howard Stern, and Laura Dern. And
on a boat?
Maybe on a boat.
In the Stern?
Maybe in the Stern.
No, in the cinema.
That's where you want to see the podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast should take place at the during a screening of a film.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're talking through it.
Yeah. Stern, Dead, and Stern.
Because imagine how crazy that would be if you were watching a movie and then behind you there's some people just talking at a conversational level. And you're like, would you please go, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Your favorite drink.
Am I allowed to give two options?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we'll try and narrow you down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give two. I'm going to give an alcoholic and a non-alcoholic option.
Lovely.
Okay.
I don't drink it much anymore. It's very rare. But beer, a nice cold beer. God damn. It's so good.
Yeah.
A cold beer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Does it even matter what type of beer, as long as it's cold?
It matters a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not an IPA person.
Mm-hmm.
IPAs, they're the Brussels sprouts of beers.
Yeah, sure.
They started to dominate, and then finally there was some pushback from people saying, like, not everything has to be this.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
A beer could taste nice, too.
Yeah.
But I like lagers.
Yeah.
So a nice cold lager. The best beer I ever had that tasted the most like the idea of beer that I've always had in my mind was I had it in at a pub in London, and it was Amstel, just regular Amstel, which here in the States we did not know was a thing.
Right.
Because we had Amstel Light and that was it. Mm-hmm. And it was just never, why are you introducing a variant of this beer we've never had? And I was working in London and I went into this pub and they had Amstel and I just thought I would try it. And it was like the perfect temperature. It was so like beyond drinkable. It was so good. It was refreshing. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is just like the drawing of beer.
Yeah.
It was so good. My non-alcoholic option is, man, a cold Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So Whoa. Good. Nothing beats it. Out of the bottle.
Yeah.
So good.
Welcome to America.
Yeah. A cold Coke out of a glass bottle is so good.
Straight up normal Coke.
Yeah.
We're not fucking around with Diet Coke here.
No.
No. Well, depends how long it's been since you've had normal Coke.
I'm not fucking around.
Yeah. No fucking around.
None taken.
You got a nice cold Coke out of a glass bottle.
Mm-hmm. Or a pint of Amstel.
Yeah.
A pint of Amstel.
Mm.
They're both very nice options.
Like all the way up to the top where you got to be really, you got to take a little sip before you walk back to the.
Oh, yeah. Before you walk back to the table. This is the Amstel now, not the Coke.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah. I would like to, you know what? I'd like to see the Coke just spilling out of the bottle.
Yeah.
We overfilled it. Sorry.
Yeah. Interrupted out.
This never happens.
Yeah.
Now, to try and make you choose between the two, I want you to put yourself in the mind of the miner again.
He's never far from my thoughts.
After a 19-hour shift in the mine, you get back.
Knowing I have to be back at work in 4 hours.
Yeah, you've got to be back at work in 4 hours. What's going to be the most refreshing thing to... And by the way, you're taking a sip and then you're wiping the glass or bottle on your head as well to cool down.
Yeah. It's got to be that pint.
Yeah, we're going with the pint.
Yeah, I think that's a good option.
Yeah, lovely.
Good.
It's also good with the spice of the pasta.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. And the kids are so excited for beer night.
They're so excited. They get to watch me drink beer.
Did you ever get given a sip of beer as a kid?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, when I was a kid, it was revolting.
Yeah.
But it was intriguing.
Yeah. One day.
I never forgot it.
One day I'm going to like this.
Yeah.
One day. I remember having a sip of beer as a kid. I was like, one day, this is going to be a problem.
Yeah. I've never seen a kid refuse it either. Even though they know
they're
not. I've never seen an adult be like,
I never thought about that.
A sip of this? And the kid's like, no, I'm good. I just carry on.
No, I'm a kid.
Doesn't seem like it. Yeah. My palate's not developed.
Yeah. It would be wasted on me. I know that you like that drink. Yeah. I don't want to deprive you of it.
I don't drink.
Yeah.
I like stuff that's like real sweet or else it's just like basic primal carnivore stuff. You know what I mean?
I've got to keep a clear head. I've got kid stuff to get on with.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
Yeah.
So, no, thank you.
This time I'm going to let you get away with it, but one more, I'm calling someone about this.
I'm a snitch.
I'm good.
One thing you've got to know about me is I'm a snitch.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
A proud snitch.
Not yet old enough to understand that it's something that I should be ashamed of.
Yeah. I'm such a snitch. I snitched on myself for being a snitch.
Yeah, I just completely sang like a canary about my own snitchiness. Back to the coal mine there with the canary.
Yeah.
That's true.
Always comes back.
Yeah.
Oh, how disappointing when that canary dies and like, ugh.
Yeah. You'll be back any second to tell us what that coal mine's like.
But then you got to get the canary, like to make sure that the canary is dead, you still have to go in there, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. Once you're in there, it's a problem.
Yeah. Or do you not winch? You winch it back up, right?
What?
I think you dip the canary and then winch it back up.
Winch?
you winch it.
How
right,
big is this canary? Yeah. Oh, is it like, it's in a little cage?
It's in a cage.
It's in a cage.
That, can I tell you, that never occurred to me.
You thought they just set it free?
I honestly, in my, when I, that expression, I always just pictured a canary flying into the coal mine.
Yeah. No.
If it doesn't come back, I guess that's it.
If it doesn't come back, it's either really bad or really great down there.
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it.
The idea that you release the canary down there, if it doesn't come back, you got to send a man down there to check. What's the point of the canary?
Imagine being the miner, going there and trying to find a loose canary in a coal mine that's on your own. Where's the canary gone? We should have winched it down in a cage. Find it. It's an impossible job.
That was fun. That was fun to learn a new thing today.
Yeah, it was very fun
to watch you learn it.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Also, what was really nice, and sometimes it's like I feel very privileged to be in the room during the podcast and not just hearing the audio because you get to see people's faces. Sure. I got to see your face as it dawned on you. I got to see your face when I realised what you thought happened.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Paul thinks that this is a canary, just gets thrown down a coal mine and flies down, and then of its own will flies back up and tells them it's okay.
I didn't think he told them anything.
Also, what I was really enjoying is you were really laughing at me saying winching it down. So you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were insane. Yeah, yeah.
That was the sweetest bit of the whole thing.
Here's why, because in my mind I was...
You were picturing a loose canary tied up with a rope and being winched
down. That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
How would you winch it back up because it can fly? So like it would be ridiculous to try and winch it back up.
It's true.
Because it's already flying and offered in the air.
It's true. All of it's true.
It'd be so much slack.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm fortunate that expression is not... practically impacted my life. I didn't have to think about it that much.
Yeah, yeah.
In that way, I'm lucky.
But like all the people in your whole life who have used that expression around you or heard you use that expression don't know that in your head you were picturing something completely wrong.
They have no idea.
No.
I understood the most important part.
You know the canary dies don't go in the mine. That's all you know.
Exactly.
But like if that was a cartoon... It'd be like you saying, like, well, you know, it's like sometimes you send a canary down a coal mine, you know, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, Paul's really intelligent. And then it would show, like, your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
what you're imagining is going on, which is the
fade
like,
into my brain.
Free throwing a canary down a mine.
Yeah.
And, like, you're going, yeah, that's what happens.
Well, we'll give him another hour.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't come back, we're sending a man down there.
Yeah. Is the canary flying back up yet?
This cartoon sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good cartoon. Yeah. It's cool.
People having conversations.
And
one person doesn't understand an idiom.
Yeah.
Then we can zoom into his head.
Yeah. Exactly.
Easy to animate.
Yeah. So easy to animate. You have a whole thing in it about Ed thinking that meatballs have heads.
Yeah.
If that makes you feel better.
You know, we've all learned stuff today.
I think so.
Not me.
No.
Let's see what we learn in the dessert course.
Mm-hmm. This is a thing that's very hard to find the way that I like it. And that is because it's a thing that you'll see on a menu and you never know how it's going to turn out when you get it. And that is cheesecake.
Mm. Okay.
The kind that I like... that I think is considered the New York cheesecake, except a lot of times it is not this, is that incredibly dense cheesecake, super, super dense, that is sweet and sour at the same time.
Right.
I love that. What it's like really high, like it's just thick.
Yeah.
Just a thick piece of cheesecake.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's too creamy. It's too soft. I like it when it's like you got to make a little tiny bit of effort to slice through it with the fork.
Okay.
So is this is it a baked cheesecake or is it like a cheesecake where it's not cooked? Is it just like the biscuit base with the cream cheese and stuff on top of it?
What are you saying?
Well, looks like class isn't over yet.
So, you know, you could get cheesecakes that are like just like sugar and cream cheese on like a biscuit base, and then they put it in the fridge.
Quite soft.
Or there's like a baked cheesecake, which is more labor intensive. You have to like, you make the stuff, you pour it in, then you bake it. It's got like the brown crust on the top, and it's sort of slightly fluffier.
It's more that.
Yeah, it's that.
It's more that, yeah. But it's got a, but the texture is very solid. It's very, you know, it's not super creamy, and that a lot of times it's you just don't know which one you're going to get,
right?
And the creamy one's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
You'll take it if it arrives.
Yeah,
but you'll be a bit sad.
Well, I'll be a little. I'll always be a little bit sad. And that's not just concerning what we're talking about on this podcast.
Yeah.
Generally,
I'll always be a little bit sad.
And this is a
vanilla. Now you've learned something.
No, I've just learned that Paul will always be a little bit sad.
Always a little bit.
Yeah. But this is nice to learn, not nice to learn.
It's
just interesting.
Just learning.
Just learning.
It's just learning.
Learning is neutral. Learning is neither nice nor not nice.
No. You just learned it, and now I know it.
Yeah.
And I can
the rest is up to you.
It's up to me what I do with that information.
That's exactly right.
Vanilla cheesecake.
What's that?
Vanilla.
Vanilla
cheesecake.
What flavor is the cheesecake?
It's cheesecake flavored.
But they must put like vanilla in it. Yeah. Or something.
I imagine they do. I've never made one.
Right.
But there are things like strawberry cheesecake, chocolate cheesecake, whatever.
Sure.
The default is just cheesecake.
Yeah.
Which I would not describe as vanilla flavored.
Okay.
Or where I come from, vanilla flavored. I grew up in Philadelphia, and that's how we pronounce
vanilla.
Vanilla.
I'm so good. Before we left the apartment, I had a different t-shirt on. But I'd been sweating and I stank.
Sure.
So like I took the t-shirt off, washed my pits, and I put on this number you're seeing
it's
right now.
It's a great shirt.
But what is annoying is the t-shirt that I had on originally was a Denix t-shirt with the pig and the Philadelphia. It was a Philadelphia sandwich t-shirt. And now you've said you're from Philadelphia and I could have worn
Philadelphia
that
sandwich
cool.
t-shirt.
It's a sandwich I had in Philadelphia
and he bought
and
the
I
t-shirt.
I liked the sandwich so much that I bought the t-shirt.
What kind of sandwich was it?
It was a thinly sliced pork sandwich with a bit of cheese, broccoli rabe, and then all dipped in the pork jus.
That sounds delicious.
It's great. It's from Reading Terminal Markets.
Reading Terminal is great.
Yeah. I had seen that sandwich on Man vs. Food 10 years previously. I'd thought about it for 10 years. I went there on my first day in Philadelphia, bought that sandwich. It was every bit as good as I'd imagined it would be. And then I got it again and bought a t-shirt.
And now that t-shirt stinks.
That t-shirt stinks like nobody's business. And here's the thing, Paul. Now, so much of so many.
What, something turned.
Yeah, sorry.
Put a little bit of sauce on that now.
Yeah. It happened.
That's the wrong word I chose to do that on.
Yeah. But look,
here's the problem we've got right now back at our Airbnb is there's like... There's a washing machine.
Sure.
There's two washing machines, and me and Ed went
Sounds
to wash
great.
Our clothes.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
And when
yeah.
we went to wash our clothes, Ed put his clothes in the washing machine, and it was fine. And my one, there was a guy fixing it, and he looked at me and went, "That's good to go now. That's okay." Wrong. Not fine. Mm. It did everything up until the spin cycle, and then just stopped. And then I tried, and it. I do it again, and it just made them even wetter. And then I put them just straight in the dryer, completely drenched, and that didn't work. Yeah. And it actually just stopped the dryer from working because it's too wet. And now I've had to put them back in the washing machine, but the one that Ed used.
Right.
And it's really all I can think about right now is that they're still there, and we leave really soon back to England.
Do you leave tonight?
No, we leave on Thursday, but his clothes are really wet.
They're really wet, and I'm really worried I just have to leave them all here.
I mean, The worst case scenario, I guess, is you hang them up.
Yeah.
It's really drenched.
Yeah, but you know it's warm here, and we do have a balcony.
They're drenched.
No, I know, but Thursday's 2 days from now.
Paul, I'm not joking. Paul. He came back from the washing machine, and he went, "I think I'm going to have to leave my clothes here."
Yeah. I was going to leave them here.
Because they're too wet.
So you don't think even like in a plastic bag they could survive the journey back to England?
Oh yeah, but they'll just stink of stale water by the time I get back. I don't want to wear them.
Here's the thing. That spin cycle is crucial.
Yeah.
It really is. And we take it for granted.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do.
So now I'm quite worried about that. But
do you want to read Paula's order back?
Huh?
Do you want to read Paula's order back?
Well, I was trying to open up and connect a little bit at the end.
No, we did that.
Fair enough. Still water, you would like. That just reminds me of my clothes now.
Oh, no.
I don't know why I'm reading that.
They are still and forever will
I'd
be
like,
water.
To order a glass of standing water, please.
You finally understand why I was so negative when you said water at the beginning. You would like hot, fresh sourdough or a dark peasantry bread.
I wouldn't mind... A choice, sure.
Yeah.
Cream they come of over celery with a basket?
Soup. Yeah.
You want your sister's recommended cream of celery
That's
soup?
That's right.
Menu, rigatoni.
Lily Langtrees, that was the name of the restaurant.
Yay. Lily Langtrees?
Yes, that's where the soup came from, Lily Langtrees.
Lily Langtrees?
Yes.
Cream of celery soup?
Yes.
Sounds made up.
Does everything have to be alliterated at Lily Langtrees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Rigatoni arrabbiata with beef ragu, sauce and spice is what's written there. That's sauce, a sauce and spice.
Sauce and spice.
Sauce and spice. I'd like sauce and spice, please.
Side of roasted Brussels sprouts from your friend's dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
A pint of cold Amstel from a London pub. And dessert, New York cheesecake flavored cheesecake.
That is a lovely menu.
It sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Sure. I feel like
it's a lot. I mean, ending it with cheesecake is a big play.
Yeah. You've
got to work up your energy. You're back down that mine in a matter of hours.
That's very true.
4 hours.
I need to sustain myself.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I got to find that canary.
you got to be chasing that canary around those dark and twisted, treacherous tunnels.
Thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
All right.
Paul F. Tompkins there.
Wow.
Wow, what an episode.
What an ep, what a meal. And thank you, Paul, for not saying the secret ingredient. Alimony.
Alimony. Abalone. But yes. It's known as many different things. Oh. It's quite a simple fish, but it has many different names. Abalone, sort of the main name it's known as. Baboni, alimony. Any other guesses, James?
I'm trying to remember what the actual name is, but I genuinely still can't remember.
I literally just said it.
I know.
Try it again.
Abalone.
Yes. Well done. Well, yes. Paul didn't say it. James can't say it. Thank you very much for coming in, Paul. Like we say, Paul has a brand new podcast, which is called Neighborhood Listen.
Yes.
Called Neighborhood Listen with Nicole Parker, so go and check that out. But he has such a rich and varied podcast career, I would highly recommend.
Comedy Bang Bang,
he's on that a lot. The Pod F Tompcast is very, very good. Also, I would highly recommend going back and listening to one of his stand-up comedy albums, all of them, but my favourite is called Labouring Under Delusions. I've heard that so many times.
Funny.
It's absolutely brilliant. So go and check that out. Our stuff, go on the Twitter and the Instagram at Off Menu Official and the website offmenupodcast.co.uk. Go onto the iTunes store, rate it 5 stars, leave it a little review, just subscribe, do all of that nonsense.
We're going to go and get a smoothie.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.